Random House Audio presents Bones, an Alex Delaware novel by Jonathan Kellerman. Read for you by John Rubenstein. Everyone does it is not a defense.
Wrong.
If everyone did it, that made it normal, right? And after Chance did the research, he knew he did nothing wrong. Googling high school cheating because writing an essay was part of the punishment. Finding out 4 out of 5 high school students, that's 80% frickin', did it. Majority rules. Just like that thing on his social action study sheet. Social norms. Social norms are the cement that holds societies together. There you go. He was being a big help to society. When he tried to joke about that with the parental units, they didn't laugh. Same as when he told them it was civil rights. No way could the school force him to do community service outside the school property. That was against the Constitution. Time to call the ACLU. That got Dad's eyes all squinty. Chance turned to Mom, but she made sure not to give him any eye contact.
The ACLU?
Big wet Dad throat clear, like after too many cigars.
Because we make a significant monetary contribution to the ACLU,
starting to breathe hard.
Every goddamn year? That's what you're saying?
Chance didn't answer.
Cute. Extremely cute. That's your point? Well, let me tell you something. You cheated. Period. That is not the kind of thing the ACLU gives half a shit about.
Language, Steve? Mom broke in.
Don't start, Susan. We've got a goddamn fucking serious problem here, and I seem to be the only one who fucking gets it.
Mom got all tight-mouthed, started plucking at her nails. Turned her back on both of them, and did something with dishes on the kitchen counter.
It's his problem, Susan, not ours. And unless he owns up to it, we can kiss Occidental or any other halfway decent college fucking goodbye.
Chance said, I'll own up to it, Dad. Working on what Sarah Beth called his Mr. Sincere look. Laughing as she undid her bra. Everyone buys Mr. Sincere but me, Chancey. I know it's Mr. Bogus. Dad stared at him. Hey, said Chance, at least give me credit for hand-eye coordination. Dad let out a stream of curses and stomped out of the kitchen. Mom said, he'll get over it. But she left, too. Chance waited to make sure neither of them was coming back before he smiled, feeling good because his hand-eye had been cool. Setting his razor on vibrate and positioning it perfectly in a side pocket of his loosest cargo pants, the phone resting on a bunch of shit he'd stuffed in there to make kind of a little table. Sarah Beth, 3 rows up, texting him the answers to the test. Chance, being cool about it, knowing he'd never get caught because Shapiro was a nearsighted loser who stayed at his desk and missed everything. Who'd figure Barkley would come in to tell Shapiro something, look clear to the back of the room, and spot Chance peeking into his pocket? The whole class doing the same exact thing, everyone's pockets vibing, everyone cracking up the moment the test started because Shapiro was such a clueless loser. The whole semester had been like this. The asshole would have missed Paris Hilton walking in nude and spreading.
Everyone does it is not a defense.
Rumley looking down his big nose and talking all sad like at a funeral. What Chance wanted to say was, then it fricking should be, dude. Instead, he sat in Rumley's office, squeezed between his parents, his head all down, trying to look all sorry. In the end, the adults reached an agreement. Punishment 1. He'd have to take another version of the test. Shapiro would make one up. Punishment 2. No more cell phone at school. Punishment 3. The essay. Chance hated to write. Usually Sarah Beth did his essays, but she couldn't do this one because he had to do it at school in Rumley's office. Still, no big deal. Then came punishment 4.
Because substantive accountability has to be part of the package, Master Brandt. Community service. Oh, shit. And here the frick he was, sitting in the Save the Marsh office on night 11 of his 30-night sentence. Shitty little puke-colored room with pictures of ducks and bugs, whatever, on the wall. One dirty window looking out to a parking lot where no one but him and Duboff parked. Stacks of bumper stickers in the corner he was supposed to hand out to anyone who walked in. No one walked in, and Duboff left him by himself so he could run off to investigate how global warming got up a duck's butt, what made birds hurl, did bugs have big dicks, whatever. 30 frickin' nights of this, nuking his summer vacation. 5 to 10 p.m. When the phone did ring, he mostly ignored it. When he did answer, it was always some loser wanting directions to the marsh. Go on the frickin' website or use MapQuest, Rain Man. 2.5 more frickin' weeks until he was free at last doing his Luther King thing. He checked his tag hewer. 9:24. 36 minutes and he'd be good to go. The phone rang. He ignored it. It kept going 10 times. He let it die a natural death. A minute later it rang again and he figured maybe he should answer it. What if it was Rumley testing him? Clearing his throat and getting Mr. Sincere ready, he picked up.
Save the Marsh?
Silence on the other end made him smile. One of his friends pranking him, probably Ethan, or Ben, or Jared. Dude, he said, what's up? A weird kind of hissy voice said,
up?
Weird laughter.
Something's down, as in buried in your marsh.
Okay, dude.
Shut up and listen. East side of the marsh. Look and you'll find it.
Like I give a
dead.
Said Hissy.
Something real, real dead.
Laughter.
Dude.
Hanging up before Chance could tell him to shove dead up his... A voice from the door said, hey man, how's it shaking? Chance's face was still hot, but he put on Mr. Sincere and looked over. There in the doorway was Duboff wearing his Save the Marsh t-shirt, geek shorts showing too much skinny white thigh, plastic sandals, that stupid gray beard.
Hey, Mr. Duboff, said Chance.
Hey, man. Duboff gave a clenched fist salute.
Did you have a chance to check out the herons before you got here?
Not yet, sir.
They're incredible animals, man. Magnificent. Wings spread like this.
Unfolding scrawny arms to the max.
You've obviously mistaken me for someone who gives half a shit.
Duboff came closer, smelling gross, that organic deodorant he'd tried to convince Chance to use. He frowned and rubbed a pink bump.
Stopped by the marsh to check for trash. Must have got bit by something.
Providing food for the little guys, said Chance. That's a good thing, sir.
Duboff stared at him, trying to figure out if Chance was messing with his head. Chance brought out Mr. Sincere, and Duboff decided Chance was being righteous and smiled.
Guess you're right. Anyway, I just thought I'd stop in, see how you're doing before your shift ends.
I'm fine, sir.
Okay, check you out later, man.
Walking to the door, he stopped, looked back. Anything I should know about?
Like what, sir?
Calls, messages.
Chance grinned, flashing perfect white chompers, courtesy 5 years of Dr. Wasserman.
Nothing,
he said with utter confidence. Bob Hernandez needed the money. Nothing but money would get him out here this early. At 5 a.m., Pacific Public Storage was a fog-shrouded dump, like one of those gloomy places they used for serial killer and drug shootout movies. 24-hour facility, but most of the bulbs supposed to light up the passageways between the units were out, and the auctioneer had to use a flashlight.
Lousy turnout compared with the other auctions Bob had attended.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?